First reading today begins with that rather curious line, death was not God's doing. And it points to what in fact is the teaching of the church about death. When we read in the account of creation, in Genesis 1 and 2, we get the sense that in the beginning God intended for us to have that fullness of life. That death would not be the final answer. And yet, we know from experience, we know from the natural world, that over the last 4.6 billion years that the earth has existed, death has always been a part of it. It's just the natural cycle. At the moment, it's winter, as many people have already told me this morning, a bit cold. And looking outside, we see trees that have lost their leaves. And we know that in the springtime, that the leaves will begin to bud again and flowers will come out and all of that. And so it will continue. I'm sure all of us have had some sense or experience of death, whether that's in the death of a pet, farm animal, or indeed of someone that we love. The difference in our faith is the way that we experience that death. Not so much just the physical reality of it, but if you like, that full spiritual experience, or if you want to get a bit more philosophical, the existential experience of that death. And this is the difference that Christianity teaches. The Book of Wisdom that we read from this morning is very late. It's probably only written a couple of hundred years before the time of Christ. And it expresses that sense of the Jewish reflection on this reality. They're struggling and coming to terms with what it was that God intended in the beginning. What we read about in the book of Genesis and in other places. And it has that sense of the way that God originally intended. That death wouldn't be this terror over us. That death wouldn't hold us in its throes. That death would not be that final punishment. But that death would simply be that point of transition. The falling to sleep, to awaken in the new world that God has prepared for us. And so we can wonder, well, what would it be like? You know, if death, as we read in the book of Genesis chapter 3, if death was one of the consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve, if death is one of the consequences of sin, what would it be like to die without sin? And if we look through the tradition of the church, of course, there's one shining example of someone who died without sin. Who's that? The Blessed Mother, indeed. Of course, the church doesn't make a strong declaration about what happened at the end of Mary's mortal life. We teach that she was assumed body and soul into heaven. But there's no definitive teaching about the exact moment of whether she died or not. There are various traditions. In the Eastern Church, they don't so much call it the Assumption of Mary, but they call it the Dormition of Mary. And that's a word that simply means that falling asleep. And so we can see in Mary, of course, if she has always chosen to live her life in accordance with God's will, if she's always associated herself with the plan of God for her life, if everything about her is about doing what God wants and not to choose her own way, not to choose against God's will, then indeed, in the life of Mary, we see someone who hasn't experienced that taint of sin. And so at the moment of Mary's death, it was that dormition, where she simply drifted into peaceful sleep, in order that she would one day be awakened at the resurrection. That is the promise for all of us, of course. That is the gift of what our lives will be about as well, if we trust in the Lord. If we associate our lives so strongly and fully by accepting the Lord Jesus to be our personal Lord, to allow Him to be our Savior, if we indeed do that, if we are able to accept and trust in His love and in His plan for our life, then death doesn't have to be that experience of terror. Death doesn't have to be that experience of horror, because Jesus has already defeated death. Jesus has already overcome that mortal fear. And so that is the way that we can experience death. Not as something that we're just in mortal peril about. Not as something that we're terrified of, that we dread. Not something even necessarily that we look forward to, but something that can be as simple as going to sleep. Generally, going to sleep is a rather pleasant experience, hey? I don't actually remember the point I fell asleep last night, but I know that that drifting off is quite nice. And that is the way that a Christian should approach death. So when we read the Gospel this morning, with that understanding of death, some of what happens suddenly begins to make more sense. And so we have this beautiful story, well indeed, two stories bound so closely together. This young daughter of Jairus, the synagogue official, who's 12 years old, again linked to the story of the woman with the bleeding because she's had this problem for 12 years. Jairus keeps talking about his daughter. Jesus, when he talks to the woman, says, "My daughter, your faith has saved you." There are so many links to bind these stories closely together. But what is interesting is when at the end of the first story and the beginning of the second, when they're on their way to the official's house. Capernaum isn't a big city, so it wouldn't have taken all that long to walk across the town. So when they're about to get to the house, and the crowd comes and says, "Don't bother the master anymore. Don't worry him, because she's already dead." It's then that Jesus, of course, turns to Jairus and say, "Do not be afraid, only have trust." This is the answer that Jesus gives us whenever we're afraid of death, whenever we're confronted with death, to hear those words, "Do not be afraid, only have faith, only have trust." And then they continue, because Jesus knows that there is nothing outside of his love. There's nothing that's beyond the boundaries of his power. And so even though the crowd says it's pointless, it's useless, send him away, Jesus continues to go to that house. And when he gets to the house, of course, all of the people are just there and wailing and weeping, the paid mourners that come to help the family express their grief. And he says, "You know, why all this commotion? The girl is not dead, she is asleep." This again points to that reality of death, the way that it is in the mind of God, the way that it is truly to be experienced by people of faith. But of course the crowd doesn't get that, and they miraculously change their weeping and lamenting into laughter in a heartbeat. And then Jesus dismisses them and goes through the crowd, goes into this young girl's room. And even though touching this dead girl will make him ritually unclean, just like touching that woman also made him ritually unclean, he defies all that and grabs her by the hand. And that beautiful expression that we get, one of the four times in the Gospels that we hear Jesus' exact Aramaic words, the words and the language that Jesus would have said, "Talitha kum," like he says to the deaf man, "Ephatha," like he prays in the garden when he cries out, "Abba," when he's dying on the cross and he calls out to the Lord, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." Each of these are remembrances of the exact words of Jesus. And so here he addresses this young girl, not in words of magic. It's not an abracadabra. It's simply what a father would say to his young daughter in the morning. It's simply that expression of saying, "My darling, it's time to get up. Time to wake up. So talitha kum, get up." And it's these words of awakening that we indeed will one day hear if we place our trust in the Lord. This is the words that we will hear, perhaps in the masculine version as well, when the Lord awakens us at the end of the world, when he awakens us at the resurrection of the dead. This is the tremendous gift of the Christian, that our faith is about the destruction of death, that death does not hold any power over us, that the devil's envy that created that fear and that anxiety about death does not need to touch us, because we trust, because we believe in the power of the resurrection. And that's the incredible gift of our faith, that one day unlike this couple, when Jesus says, give us something to eat, but of this, do not speak. When he bound them to silence because it was not yet time to celebrate that victory. But now it is. Now is the time when we can experience the power of our faith in Jesus over death, that nothing is greater than the love of God. And so when that day comes, when we experience that victory, then we can proclaim that victory. Then we can look forward to that day when death in its fear and horror will not touch us, but it will be our time to simply fall asleep.
He led them and my wife and me to where our daughter lay. He took her by the hand, told her, child, arise. And the words were barely spoken when she opened up her eyes. She rose and walked across the room and stood there at our sides. My wife knelt down and held her close, and at last she really cried. And then Jesus told us both to see our daughter had some food.